Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart, and what follows. Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Genesis 11, beginning with verse 27 through the ninth verse of chapter 12. Genesis 11, beginning with verse 27. And now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. And Sarai was barren, as she had no child. And Terah took Abram a son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Rochelle Vandenberg, who had surgery Monday evening to remove her appendix, and was privileged to return to her home yesterday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then thou wast granted in this evening hour that we hope to proclaim thy word and to listen to thy word under the judgments of the Lord. May there be boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly ones, that may go bow down thereunder. A people with sorrow, with sadness. Also in this evening hour, when most could not come up to thy house, but are called upon to remain in their homes. And not only sorrow and sadness, but may there be guilt, a confession of the same, and a repentance from our worldly, our evil ways, a repentance unto thee, the living God. Then thou wert speaking in a special way with thy judgments over the whole world, also our nation. We are part of this nation. We may thank thee that hitherto that thou hast graciously watched over our people, young and old, and nevertheless the consequences, they are more and more being felt. We commend unto thee all the family circles, fathers and mothers, with their children. Wilt thou help parents with the instruction of the children? Wilt thou remember our boys and girls, where everything is so different, bound to their home, and not unable to go in and out? Then also for our farmers, then the consequences are also being experienced. Remember employers, employees, many have been laid off in this province, when there are those amongst our people. Wilt thou remember them, O Lord? May we not only be burdened concerning the consequences, may we be burdened with our sin. It is written in thy holy word that the time has come, that the judgment must begin at the house of God. And then surely, then the greatest judgment is concerning thy house, when thou comest with thy hand, that we do not see it, that we do not feel it, that we are not humbled thereunder, that we do not repent. That is a great judgment under the judgment, O Lord. May it please thee, under thy punishments, where thou wert punishing the nations of the earth, that we may be given to receive a special place at thy footstool, acknowledging that thou wert just and righteous in all our ways, that thou punisheth us not according as our sins deserve. A deep impression of thy greatness, of thy majesty, of thy holiness, and of thy justice, but also that with thee there is mercy. The prophet of old has declared, or when thou wouldst send thy judgments upon Israel, that thou wert waiting to be gracious, waiting for that people to come on their knees, waiting for a true and an upright confession of their many sins, acknowledging all thy blessings and goodness of former years, and a genuine repentance with many tears and crying, that by renewal that thou may return with thy favor. The psalmist of old has declared, my flesh trembleth because of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Thou knowest most perfectly how it has been in each of our hearts in this day, whether there were yet souls that had a deep and solemn impression of thy speaking, of thy justice, of thy sins, and a prayer unto thee, the living God, that above all things, whatever thou doest, how great, that the judgments may become, how heavy thy hand, that in the midst of thy judgments, that it may please thee to work lovingly and mightily by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. On the past Lord's Day, then by renewal, we were given to remember, to commemorate, that the Lord is risen indeed, King of kings and Lord of lords, and who was visited a seeking, a sorrowful, a needy people with a heart full of love. May it please thee in this evening hour to visit us with thy favor. Oh, bless thy holy word. Thou wast promised in thy word that it shall prosper in the thing whereunto thou shalt send it, and it shall accomplish what thou pleaseth. May it be the set time that sinners may be converted, felled on the battlefield of free and sovereign grace, bowing before thee and praying for thy mercy with a deep impression of their great and manifold sins. O Lord, if thou dost not work under these judgments, when shalt thou then work? May it please thee to rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow away at thy presence. Wilt thou spare us and our children, that we build not upon false foundations, and that under the judgments that thy people, thy backsliding people, that they may come on that right place, then it would be a good time, then it would be a profitable time, because surely Lord. Then what a judgment it is when thou wert speaking in a special way, when thy people remained unmoved, untouched. No true confession of their sins, a sense of their unworthiness, an impression of thy justice. Oh, what a blessing it is when thy people may become the guilty one, and yet a looking unto thee, pleading for thy mercy, only possible through Jesus Christ. Oh, a token of thy favor, a new instruction, a new leading. Lord, remember the nations of the earth with all the fears of the consequences, but so little fear of our sin, and a hating and a fleeing of the same. Remember also our nation. Remember this province. Remember all the sick, all the afflicted. Help the medical field. Help our government in these difficult times. Wilt thou grant them wisdom and understanding? Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones, all the elderly ones in the midst of the congregations, those in the care home with those that care for them, the many bound to their home? Remember all the lonely ones. We remember all the sick and the afflicted, those with a dreaded disease. Remember the young daughter who was underwent surgery. Thou hast helped her out and helped her through. May return to her home, to her family. Wilt thou grant further healing and further strengthening? Remember her loved ones. Then thou wert speaking unto her, my daughter, give me thy heart, O Lord. Thou knowest that by nature, that she will never give her heart unto thee. And to that end, may it please thee, by the work of thy Spirit under this special calling, to take possession thereof, and then she shall willingly give it to thee, and then it shall be for thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Remember the handicapped. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Wilt thou remember our Christian school, which is closed? Help the parents with the instruction of their children. Wilt thou help the students, grant them wisdom and understanding? Those that have many talents, keep them from pride. Those that have less, keep them from discouragement. May it please thee to provide for the daily bread in the midst of the family circles with the many anxieties and the great concerns. May we be more on our knees, asking for our daily bread, an impression it is all sinned away, and above all, a realization 'tis for the time. We are traveling to eternity. Then there is that one thing needful, and that is to be born again by thy Spirit, to become a poor sinner and to be washed in the precious blood of him who has cried out, "It is finished," on the cross of Calvary. Remember thy church, the established churches, the persecuted church, all mission work, also our mission field, and also the Jewish people. Lord, we now humbly ask thee in this evening hour to open thy word, to open our lips, and to open our hearts. Oh, do grant a blessing. Withhold not thy precious work. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Look down upon us poor sinners under thy judgments in the Son of thy eternal love. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 297, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Oh, praise the Lord, for he is good. His mercy still endure. Thus let his ransom testify from all their foes secure. And what follows? Psalter 297, the three stanzas. the Lord, ye sons of men, for all his goodness shown. Oh, praise him for the wondrous works to you he has made known. The longing soul that turns to him, he fully satisfies. He fills with good its hungry one, that for his mercy in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Genesis 12, the verses 6, 7, and 8. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Our text words speak of Abram dwelling in the promised land. With three thoughts, the first two thoughts, the last two thoughts of 2 weeks ago. In the first place, Abram dwelling with the Canaanite. In the second place, Abram's confirmation in Shechem. And in the third place, Abram's built altars. Abram dwelling in the promised land. Abram dwelling with the Canaanite. Abram's confirmation in Shechem. And Abram's built altars. Beloved congregations, in the past weeks then we have heard that the Lord, by his divine grace, by the loving and irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, has called Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. We have heard that he was not asking for the Lord. He was an idol worshiper. The Lord has made a difference where there is no difference. And then in obedience to that call, we have heard that the Lord has given unto him seven promises concerning the land, concerning his seed. And then in obedience he has traveled to Haran with part of his family, and there a Terah has died. How it was with Terah, the father of Abram, for a soul for eternity, that is not revealed in the scriptures. But then we read of one that has left the Ur of the Chaldeans, but that has never come in the promised land. Then there can be a change of generals, that there is not a change of king. Much can take place in the life of a person. Do we not read in the scriptures that the devil also comes as an angel of light? But now for Abram, we have heard it, that perhaps Abram was waiting for further instruction. Perhaps Abram thought that Haran was the promised land. But then the Lord has called him the second time when he was 75 years old. Thus then we have heard that Abram was converted at an earlier age. How long that they have dwelt in Haran is not written in the holy word of God. And then in verse 5, then we read of the faithfulness of that faithful God. Because we read, and in the land of Canaan they came. For the true child of God, what a questions and what a riddles there can be concerning that way. Then that people is so glad to make it simple for our children, children, when with your parents and family you would travel to another place. And then it can happen that father and mother ask each other that they are questioning whether they are indeed on the right road. And then how glad they are when they may see a road sign that tells that the destination is ahead. The psalmist in 86 verse 17 has asked for a token for good. Oh, then for an Abram, what a prayers must have been sent up to heaven, that the Lord would lead in a plain way. I read in Psalm 32 verse 6, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Then the Lord is granted protecting, providing, and caring mercies. And in the land of Canaan they came. Then in Abram has experienced that the Lord is a God that cannot lie, as I read in Titus 1 verse 2, and that the Lord shall fulfill for his child what he has promised. 'Tis the general way that it goes through mysterious ways. It was a long journey for Abram, nearly 900 kilometers to Haran, and then another 790 kilometers to the land of Canaan. Then that word "and," that speaks of the progression of time. Then also in our life, under the different circumstances, there are many ands. We cannot slow, we cannot stop the clock. But time is an everlasting stream. And then there shall also come a time for us that it shall be said, as we read 8 times in Genesis 5, and he died. And then for the true child of God that has been born again, that has set their face eye in words, that have made that good choice, that have learned that they cannot save themselves, a church that is washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord shall bring them through this wilderness, and then there shall come a time, and to the promised Canaan, that is the heavens above, they came. But for the unconverted, then there shall also be an end, because they read in Luke 16 of the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and he lifted up his eyes in hell. Then we read in our text words, the Canaanite was then in the land. Who were the Canaanites? Canaan was the fourth son of Ham, whom has been cursed because of the sin with Noah. Those descendants, they have dwelt in the land of Canaan when Abram has arrived. Then we read concerning that people in Genesis 15, verse 16, that the Lord has said unto Abram that he would become possessor, his descendants, of the land of Canaan, but not immediately, because the measure of the Amorites was not yet full. What a solemn thought also in our days. Living in a country flowing with milk and honey, where we have been blessed for so many years. And it is true in this province, at least, not well known, because this province has been settled much later than the eastern provinces. When we think of America and New England, 1734, 1740, great awakenings where the Lord has wrought mightily and wonderfully for the coming of his kingdom. Also in eastern Canada, then there has been many a godly minister. We think of William Burns. That has also come to the eastern part of this country. And then in the middle 1800s, called the Second Awakening, then also in this country, then the Lord has wrought wonderfully with his Spirit. Even the western provinces, few years ago, we have spoken to the young people concerning Reverend James Evans, called the Apostle of the North. labored for the Hudson Bay Company, their headquarters in Norway House on the shore of Lake Winnipeg. And then that servant of the Most High in the winter, in the summer with the canoe, in the winter time with the dogs and sled. Then he has also come westward, even to this province. And then it is written in his book that the Lord has also worked wonderfully among the Indians. there were those Indians in their broken language that could tell how they have become a poor, a lost, a hell-worthy sinner, but saved by that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In former days, then we were still a nation where God's word had a large place. In the family circle, the schools, the courts, the governments, that on the Lord's Day, that most of the people went up to the house of God. And the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. And now as a country, we have departed so far from God's word, and may we not greatly fear that our iniquity is nearly to the brim, our God-provoking sins in so many ways. We have become a Sodom and a Gomorrah, which were destroyed by brimstone and by fire. And the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. Would be different centuries before that they would be destroyed. That speaks of the long suffering of the Lord. The Lord in his justice demands a perfect obedience to his law. And now between that demanding justice and his executing justice, when the Lord executes the same, there is the patient long suffering of the Lord. Then also over our nation, then how patient, how long suffering the Lord has been, and how the Lord has come with his judgments, and who yet perceives it, who trembles thereunder. Oh, then the Lord is yet calling, because he has not come with total destruction. Then the iniquity is not yet completely full. For boys and girls, then we can picture a cup. Sometime when you fill it with water very slowly, and you watch that cup, then the water can even be higher than the cup before it overflows. And then an extra drop, and it overflows. The iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. But for our country and for the nations of the earth, then the Lord is speaking in a special way, that we may be given to repent and cry unto the Lord. Do we not read in the book of Jonah chapter 3 that even with their outward repentance, oh, they have cried mightily unto the Lord, sackcloth and ashes, I am not saying the Lord knows, or whether there were also true repentance. But then that city was still spared for many years. Is the Lord with his virus? Is he not speaking unto us a special way? That the iniquity of our country, that it is nearly full. It is written in 1 Peter 4, verse 17, that the judgments must begin at the house of God. May it please the Lord, because the greatest judgment that can come upon the church, when under the judgments, that the church remains unmoved, cold, and that they do not repent of their evil ways. And to that end, oh, the patient long-suffering, young and old, has that long-suffering of the Lord ever become a wonder for us? Have we been exercised with our iniquities? And with the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit that we were given to see, that the measure was becoming so full, and that we have not a penny to pay, oh, that we have cried unto the Lord, that there were times in the Lord's long suffering, that it was a wonder when the Lord has granted an other day. Oh, that we have cried for mercy. Have we learned to know him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken that cup of wrath from his Father, and who has emptied it to the last drop, whose resurrection we have commemorated on the past Lord's Day. And now for Abram. Oh, what a disappointment it must have been. Oh, he has left the Ur of the Chaldeans. He has left the idols. And then now in the promised land, which the Lord has promised him, then the Canaanite was still in the land. What is that Canaanite a type of? That is a type of the world. Oh, the child of God, he shall be given to flee from the world, because there shall be a hating and fleeing from sin. Oh, it does not mean that he does not fall into temptation, but the child of God, he shall learn that the world does not leave him. And Christ has prayed in his high priestly prayer in John 17, not to be taken out of the world, but to be kept from evil. The Canaanite was then in the land, and we can understand that the Canaanites, when they have seen Abram with Sarai, with Lot, but also with many servants, because in Genesis 14, we read of 318 servants, that Abram had many goods, that the Canaanite, that they have closely watched Abram. Do we not read in Luke 22, verse 56, when Peter has come in the hall of Caiaphas, that maid has beheld, and that she looked upon Peter? Oh, then the Canaanite, they shall look upon Abram and the family circle, concerning their life, concerning their family life, husband and wife, servants, business life. The world has a right thereto, of course, for the Canaanite, and they did not know where Abram has come from. Their worship, his worship, that was strange to the Canaanites. And now the church is called to be separate from the world. The late Reverend G.H. Kirsten has stated in a certain place that the isolation of the church, that is the strength of the church. Do I not read in 2 Corinthians 7, the verses 16 and 17, come out and be separate. O Balaam, when he was called to bless that blessed people, then he has declared in Numbers 23 that people shall dwell alone. Oh, and from a high place, then he saw that encampment, he has declared, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Thus, a church dwelling alone. Then in this evening hour, then the question could be asked, why does the Lord now leave so many Canaanites in the land? Because those Canaanites, they are at enmity with the church. That warfare that has been declared in Genesis 3, verse 15, we read the same in the book of Judges after Joshua has divided the land to the different tribes. Then in Judges 1, verse 19, when the command was given to Judah, together with Simeon, to root out the rest of the Canaanites, then we read that they had chariots of iron, and they could not conquer them. In the same chapter, in verse 27, of the tribe of Manasseh, we read they did not drive out the inhabitants. And in verse 28, when Israel became strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Thus, when they became strong, instead of rooting them out, they used them for their profit. And now the Lord has said in Judges 3, verse 2, that those Canaanites were left in the land to teach them to war. There's a militant church. The New Testament, Paul has written to his son Timothy to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers with weapons. And then in Judges 3, verse 4, those Canaanites, they were left to prove Israel whether they would serve the Lord. Many times you hear it, and it is so. We live not in easy times. So many temptations, fathers and mothers, a difficult time for our children, for us as parents, with all the Canaanites and with all the temptations. But now the Lord has left them to prove us. And that way, the Lord glorifies his name. And then he shows to the world that he has a people that serves him in truth and sincerity, that love the Lord above all. The Canaanite in the land, then we could speak of the devil, the ruler, the prince of darkness over the world, of the Canaanite, of course. We could also speak, that is the worst. That is the Canaanite within. That is that warfare. That is that flesh. That shall never cease as long as the child is upon the earth. Our second thought, Abram's confirmation in Sychem. That place is called two different ways, spelled two different ways, Sychem or Shechem. That is a place 34 miles north of Jerusalem and 7 miles southeast of Samaria, between two large hills, Mount Ebal on the north, Mount Gerizim on the south, a valley of 500 yards in between, the continental divide, the waters flowed to the Mediterranean Sea and also to the Jordan River, a place which is mentioned many times in the Scriptures, in Genesis, also in the further history. In Genesis 34 was the place where Jacob has inhabited with his family in a backslidden condition. Terrible things have happened. In Genesis 35, the Lord has called him to return to Bethel, and his family have brought their gods strange apparel and earrings, which they buried. We read of Shechem when they have entered the promised land, that soon in Joshua 8 they have made a covenant. And in Joshua 24, then Joshua has called the children of Israel together and have placed them before a choice. And when Joshua has called them to that place, then already that place was a preaching, because that was the first dwelling place of Abram when he has come in the promised land. And now for an Abram hitherto, oh, it is true, the Lord has led him, the Lord has guided him. But now what was the desire of Abram? Oh, undoubtedly. And then his wife Lotus asked him, but Abram, is this now the promised land? We have also dwelt in Haran for a while, and now we have come to another land, and a land where the Canaanite is in the land, and we are very small. Is this now the promised land? Then the goodness of the Lord. Because then in this place, then we read in our text, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. What a blessing, what a privilege, when the Lord confirms his own work. When the Lord comes back upon his word. That is the desire of the church. Because for Abram, he had a beautiful name. That means exalted father. And Sarai means princess. But now Abram and Sarai, they have experienced that their names have not received in their life their meaning. What that must have been for an Abram, such a name, and with a promise concerning the seed, a child, and that points to Christ, that out of Abram, the promised Messiah would be born. And now they have been on the way. We do not know how many years. 75 years when he left the land of Haran. How Abram and Sarai must have begged and prayed that the Lord would give the promised child. Many servants, many goods, but not the promised child. A beautiful name, exalted Father, and no child. A princess, and we have heard it out of chapter 11, that the Lord has closed up the womb of his wife. A barren church are their souls that understand it. A name, but so barren and so unfruitful. And the Canaanite in the land, of course, when the Lord grants faith to embrace the promise, then Abram and Sarai, they had their little child in their arms already. But when unbelief and the church learns, it's all they can bring forth. Faith is a gift of God given in the moment of regeneration in its essence. And each time by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit in its exercise, then unbelief says, the Canaanite in the land. We read in the book of Amos chapter 7, Jacob, very small. Then those Canaanites, shall they allow Abram, his wife, Lot, his servants and his animals, to dwell in the land? But, a faithful God, do we not read in Hebrews, in the New Testament, Hebrews 11, verse 23, for he is faithful that promised. What a blessing for Abram. Lord has upheld him. Lord grants provision to his people. But if he would have visited Abram and Sarai on house visitation, and we would say, Abram, how is it now? Then he could speak of three special times that the Lord has spoken. The Ur of the Chaldeans and Haran, but also when he came in that promised land. Then the Lord has confirmed that the land that he has entered, that it was the promised land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Thus that implies that Abram and Sarai, that at the Lord's time, that they would be blessed with a child. Our third thought, Abram's built altars. We shall first sing of Psalter 425, the stanzas 1 and 5. Unto the Lord lift thankful voices, Come worship while your soul rejoices. Make known his doings far and near, that people all his name may fear. And what follows? Psalter 425, 1 and 5. Congregations, when we have sung together from Psalter 425, have then your thoughts multiplied. What were your thoughts when that Psalter was sung? Maybe even our boys and girls, that they have thought at this time, then the sacraments cannot be administered in the midst of the congregation. That was also so on the wilderness journey, that for many years that the sacraments were not administered. But then they could still gather round about the tabernacle. Maybe there have been fathers and mothers holding their little infant children and that have thought, or you exercise therewith, when shall the opportunity come that I may present my little child in the midst of the church to the Lord? to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or is that not a burden, parents? Has it only become custom, superstition, and not so important? What a blessing it is when under the Lord speaking that our burdens may become unbearable. How is it under the Lord's judgments? Are we satisfied? Still a privilege that on this evening we may proclaim and listen to God's word. But are we satisfied therewith? Or are there burdened souls that in this day that have cried unto the Lord with a confession of sin? Or do we not have sins, congregation? Do we not have many sins to confess? Is there not need to repent? And now when Abram, he has come in the promised land, and he has come on such a blessed place, because we read, after the Lord has spoken, that he has built an altar. Concerning sacrifices, it is clear that the Lord has given the example in Genesis 3, when those animals were killed, Abram instructing his sons, because in Genesis 4, we read that his two sons have brought their offerings. We read of Noah in Genesis 8, verse 20, when he may leave the ark with his family, come on that new earth, that he has built an altar to the Lord. And now we read when the Lord has confirmed that promise, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. It is true, that name Lord of all capital letters, we read in Exodus 6 that the full meaning, that's the correct understanding, because in Exodus 6 it is declared that name was not made known, but then the meaning is that before that time they did not understand the broad and the rich significance thereof. He builded an altar unto the Lord. What a testimony that Abram has given in the land of Canaan. O Abram, should you not be a little careful? Because the Canaanite is in the land, and they worship the idol gods. And now if you built an altar for the Lord, for the living God, shall you not be persecuted than Abram? Is it better that you hide not your religion? Oh, when we consider our lives, what a false shame there can be, even when we are not persecuted, afraid to come out for the truth. What a temptation it can be to remain silent. May the silence of the church also become their guilt, and that they need him. That great prophet, when it concerned the honor of his father and the welfare of his children, that he has spoken, And now concerning that altar, then in the first place, a testimony to the Canaanites. In the second place, an altar of worship. May it be under the circumstances, fathers and mothers, how has it now been with that family altar, that family worship, still a central and a special place? May the Lord also use the judgments where our families are called upon to be together many a night, that when that family altar has been crumbling, or may be a place in the corner, that it may receive a central place. Scripture, prayer, and singing. Then in the Old Testament, then an altar, that was a place where the sacrifices were brought, where the blood has flown. An altar was also a place of thanksgiving. We have mentioned already in Genesis 4, as it were, the Thanksgiving Day of Cain and Abel. Oh, for an Abram, that altar, ah, for the Old Testament church, had to be given by the Spirit. But then those sacrifices, they pointed to the promised seed who would come in the fullness of time. The seed that the Lord has promised unto thy seed will I give this land. Then an altar, because we read at the end of verse 8, that was at Bethel and called upon the name of the Lord. It is true, that expression seems in the Bible that it is broader than just prayer, but nevertheless, surely, then at that altar, oh, for an Abram, when the Lord has come over, what shall I render unto the Lord? For all his benefits bestowed upon me. Then how an Abram must have bowed in humility and in unworthiness with bewonderment, with a prayer, but maybe you shall say, but an Abram had now the prayer, unto thy seed will I give this land. Was prayer then necessary? What do you think, congregation? Oh, in the true work of the Lord, then upon that promise, then there shall be that pleading, there shall be that prayer. As Psalm 119, verse 49, remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Oh, an altar of communion. That is the desire of the true child, a sweet communion, Lord, with thee. An altar as a memorial to remember the Lord's mercies. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And then we read that he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. Perhaps has traveled further southward. Perhaps the Canaanite has made it difficult. It is not all written in the Word of God. And there by renewal, we shall leave Bethel, the Lord willing for next time. There he also builded an altar unto the Lord. The blessings of the Lord for Abram, for Sarai. The Lord has come over in that promised land. Lord has not forsaken his child. Many times they can think so. As Zion has said, all many times, as Zion speaks unadvisably with her lips. Then in Isaiah 49, verse 14, the Lord has forgotten, and the Lord has forsaken me, but oh, it cannot be, because the Lord has engraven his people upon the palms of his hand. Abram, Sarai, the blessings of the Lord's people. And Abram was traveling, we are also traveling. We are journeying into a never-ending eternity, young and old. Where is our journey to? Have we ever been called out of the city of destruction? Has the Lord led further? Child of God, they are rest seekers, and they can come to Haran, but what a blessing it is when the Lord speaks and instructs by renewal, the way lies further, and then to come in the promised land, what the Lord has promised. And although the Canaanite was in the land, oh, when the Lord comes over by renewal, that is the best assurance for the child of God. And then there shall be an altar built. May it please the God of all grace, where the judgments of the Lord, heavy upon the nations, upon the church, that in many places, in many family circles, that an altar may be built, and that there may be a calling upon the name of the Lord. We read in Psalm 144, verse 15, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that we may receive the blessings that an Abram and a Sarai have received. Thou hast confirmed thy own work. Thou hast shown unto them that thou knew of their way. Thou knew of their place. And then in the way of gratitude, they were given to erect an altar. Ah, they were the salt of the earth and the light upon a hill. But, O Lord, the prophet of old has lamented that the gold has become dim. May we come in the guilt. Then by renewal, then we humbly beg thee that under thy judgments, that we may truly be humbled, that we may be given to confess our sins, that we may be given to repent and cry unto thee for mercy, O Lord, that under thy judgments, that it may please thee to grant a great revival. Ah, that Canaanites, by nature we are a Canaanite, at enmity with thee. but that Canaanites may also be converted. O wilt thou bless the labor of our hands under all the different circumstances. May we be given to bear one another's burdens. May it please thee to grant unto the family circles health, strength, happiness, and contentment under the circumstances. We are ready to leave one another. May we be given to meet one another at thy throne of grace, and to cry mightily unto thee, that thou may rend the heavens, convert us, as thou hast converted all thy people. Wilt thou forgive us of our sins of this day and of this evening hour? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 69, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Be thou my judge, O righteous Lord, try thou my inmost heart. I walk with steadfast trust in thee, and nor from thy ways depart. And what follows, Psalter 69, the first three stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.